was a slow process, but by jamming his elbows and right knee into crannies he could lever and pull himself upwards. The women, it appeared, hadn't understood the feats a boosted metabolism was capable of. He could survive for an easy 4 hours underwater without taking a breath, a useful trait when chemical and biological agents were being used. Chaz scrambled up the last couple of meters to the top of the woody bank and rolled into the lee of a crooked trunk. Only then did he start to review the bad news his neural mnemonics medical program was supplying. The shallow flesh burns he could ignore for now, although they would need treating eventually. Almost half of his outer thigh had been burnt away, and the dull glint of his psilocothelium femur was visible through the minced and charred muscle tissue. Nothing short of a total rebuild was going to get his leg functioning again. He started picking long white worm analogues from the layers they were burrowing into the naked wound. He didn't even have his pack with him when the women attacked. There was only his personal equipment belt, which was better than nothing, he thought phlegmatically. It contained 2 small neural mnemonic packages, which he wrapped round the top of his thigh like an old-fashioned bandage. They didn't cover half the length of the wound, but they would stop poisoned blood and aboriginal bacteria from getting into the rest of his circulatory system. The remainder of it was going to fester, he realized grimly. Taking stock, he had a first aid kit, a laser pistol with 2 spare power magazines, a small fishing blade knife, a hydrocarbon analyzer to tell him which vegetation contained toxins. His metabolism couldn't filter, a palm-sized thermal inducer and 5 EE grenades. He also had his Guido block, a biological chemical agent detector block, and an electronic warfare detector block. No communications block, though, which was a blow. He couldn't check in with Terence Smith to request evacuation, or even find out if any other members of his team had survived. Finally, there was the kiloton fusion nuke strapped to his side in its harness. A black carbotanium sphere, 20 centimeters in diameter, thoroughly innocuous-looking. Chaz did nothing for 5 minutes while he thought about his situation. Then he began to cut strips of wood from the cherry oaks to form a splint and a crutch. Hidden behind its event horizon, the singularity came into being 220,000 kilometers above Murora. Its intense mass density bending the course of nearby photons and elementary particles in tight curves. It took 6 milliseconds to expand from its initial subatomic size out to 57 meters in diameter. As it reached its full physical dimensions, the internal stresses creating the event horizon ceased to exist. Lady Macbeth fell in towards the gas giant, iron thrusters squirting out long spokes of coal-blue fire to halt the slight spin caused by venting coolant gases. Thermodump panels stretched wide to glow a smoky cardinal red as they disposed of the excess thermal energy acquired during the starship's frantic flight through Lalonde's polar atmosphere. Sensor clusters swept the local environment for hazards, while star trackers fixed their exact position. Joshua exhaled loudly, allowing his relief to show. "Well done, Divey. That was good work under pressure." "I've been in worse situations." He refused to rise to the bait. "Sara, have you locked down those malfunctioning systems yet?" "We're getting there," she said blandly. "Give me another 5 minutes."
"Sure."
After the harsh acceleration of Lalonde orbit, freefall was superbly relaxing. Now, if she just give him a massage... "That was one hell of a scrap back there," Melvin said. "We're well out of it," Warlow rumbled. "Feel sorry for the scout teams trapped on a planet full of people who behave like that." Melvin stopped and winced, then gave Joshua a cautious glance. "She knew what she was going down to," Joshua said. "And I meant what I said about going back to check." "Razor Maline knew what he was about," Ashley said. "She'll be safe enough with him."
"Right."
The flight computer datavised an alarm into Joshua's neural mnemonics. He accessed the sensor array. Murora's storm bands were smears of green and blue, mottled with the usual white ammonia cyclones. A thick wall of ochre and bronze rings extended from the cloud tops out to 180,000 kilometers, broken by two major divisions.